It is back to school here at New Bremen. I'm your host, Kevin Sandler, with a very special thank you going out to our sponsors. And sponsors include Cobb Pharmacy, Speedway Lanes, Jackson Tractors, and the Minster Bank. So we're going to talk high school art. We have our teacher, Carrie Forstoffel, along with a couple of 10th graders, Ava Wente and Lily Hemmelgarn. So we'll begin with Carrie, and just briefly, first of all, thanks for coming, and how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So if you would kindly share with us your own story, tell us where you came from originally and what got you into education.
Sure. So I am a graduate of New Bremen High School. I attended the University of Cincinnati, majoring in fine art with an art education license. I received my master's from Miami University, and I've spent the last 14 years teaching at Coldwater Elementary, and this is my first year teaching at New Bremen High School.
All right. What made you, go ahead and make that change?
Really a lot of things. Mostly personal growth, just needing some change, ready to kind of challenge myself and work with an older age group.
Excellent, excellent. So getting into that, you have a couple of 10th graders here. We have Ava and Lily. And so I wanted to thank both of you for coming on. We're going to begin with Ava, right?
All right.
And so let's talk about, when we talk about, the high school art, tell us, what is the art that you're into and what you enjoy so much about it?
I think the big thing that I love so much about it is just like getting to do like different stuff that you don't do every day, like just going out of your comfort zone and really just trying to like just growth yourself. I feel like it can really make like and break in your growth.
All right. So tell us what you enjoy doing artistically.
I love painting. I love doing clay. Those are the two big ones. Look, they're just like unique and out of your comfort. So I love that.
All right, about clay, what are some things about that people that have never been involved that they might not know? I'm sure there are some things that maybe they don't understand and, how you shape things, how you glaze things, right?
Right, yeah. So a lot of people think it could be very messy. It can be, but I think just really trying to get, your base down and just trying to get it, perfect centered, perfect as you can, and then just trying to, just make sure you get all the different, growing it out and then growing it back in. And just kind of just making your own little special little pot or whatever you want to make.
I can kind of branch off of that. A lot of my students this year have been trying out the potter's wheel for the first time. So that's kind of what she was referring to. It's just something different that not a lot of them have tried in the past. And it's been really fun watching them go through failure and just trying something new, pushing themselves out of their comfort zone, like Ava said.
That was my next question. I'm sure when you first start out there, let's just say that some adventures probably don't go too well,
no,
right?
No, I think that's the best part of art is that you are trying things out. I'm constantly telling them, even if you do a project and you don't love the way it turns out, hopefully you at least learn something through that process.
True. And then, for the patience thing, because then when you have what you want, then it has to be fired, right?
Yes, with ceramics, yep, absolutely.
So, and glaze,
yes,
right?
Yep, so, glazed, fired, usually at least two firings, just then learning that process, because that's not something that you can do every day on your own.
What are some of the things that have been made this year? I can imagine clay pots and some other ceramic kind of things.
Yeah, not really that much, but I know I made a little, little dish you can put your jewelry in. I made some little espresso for my coffee, little shot glasses for that. You can just kind of just let, I feel like your imagination just go wild and just make whatever you want to make.
That does sound like fun. You also talked about painting. So what do you paint?
So over the last couple weeks and months, I did a painting that was kind of a coast of Puerto Rico, I think it was, or something like that. But that was my big one. I used to do little canvases, so just backgrounds and sunsets and whatever.
And Ava really tried something new this year with stretching her own canvas. I taught her how to do that, so that was something new for her.
What does it mean exactly to kind of stretch the canvas?
So basically, you just make your canvas by yourself. So you take basically wood.
Yeah, you have to build a frame out of wood first,
and then
put that together.
You got to put your fabric over it, and then you got to put, was it poly?
Gesso.
Over it.
Okay.
Yep.
What kind of pictures do you generally like to paint?
Just mostly anything background. So if it has a sunset, if it has, some different buildings, some birds, whatever. I feel that's kind of my main focus, and just a lot of color.
And how do you also figure, because to me it's amazing how people, take a paintbrush and actually get a picture going. I mean, I can't even. I used to watch Bob Ross sometimes, and it's like it just looked like it looked like it was just magic, yeah. Right? That he would move his hand and that stuff would appear. I mean, so painting kind of fascinates me in that regard, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Excellent. How long do you want to keep going with this? You know, you're in 10th grade, right? I mean,
hopefully to finish on to my senior year.
Excellent. Have you thought about what you might want to do someday for a career?
Yeah, actually, I've thought about going into education. So going okay. into that teaching.
All right. So, I think I know someone who can help you with that.
Yeah, so, right.
Let's meet Lily. And first of all, Lily is in 10th grade, and she's wearing a wonderful Beatles shirt. I just want to say that. And
thank you.
First of all, thank you for coming and share with us your own artistic experience, the things you're into.
Most of all, in art class, I have a lot of fun, but Ava and I are kind of contrast each other a lot. While Ava enjoys like getting messy with clay and painting, I do not like that. I'm more of like a pen and ink and stencil person of drawing things out with graphite.
Yes, I'm going to have to admit I don't like making a mess either. That'd probably drive me crazy. But I guess as long as you have a smock, you can do clay, right? So talk to us about the pen and paper kind of things that you do with drawing, right?
Yeah, with graphite a lot, I most of the time choose an image off of the internet that goes with a theme that Mrs. Forstoffel wants us to draw with, and then I print it onto a different paper using a grid that matches the picture, or I don't know, I just draw it on there. But with the pen and ink right now, I picked out an image from the internet and then I traced it on to the paper, and now I'm filling it in with the pen and ink.
Excellent. That sounds like that'd be a lot of fun. Work to be sure, but it sounds like you have fun, right?
Yeah.
Do you pretty much tell your students that, you know, have fun with this, right?
Oh, yeah. I think one of the first things I said to them starting out here is that I hope the art can be the best part of their day. That's how it was for me coming to high school, and I hope that it can be that way for them as well.
And for you, I mean, how much further would you like to take this as far as the art that you're going to learn?
I'd like to take this definitely to my senior year.
Excellent. After graduation, what are your future plans?
I've never really thought too hard about this, but I've been told I'm pretty good with kids, so I may also go to education.
All right. Well, see Mrs. Forstoffel here for that. For you, Mrs. Forstoffel, when you're not here, are you into art yourself?
I am. I love taking my kids to different art shows or going and finding local places to experience art as much as possible. And absolutely, like, it is definitely a lifestyle.
What's some of the things you do? Like, if we catch up with you on the weekend, you know, for your hobby, I mean, do you do that kind of stuff?
I don't a ton on my own right now. I have three children at home, so they keep me pretty busy with their activities.
There's your hobby, yes.
But I hope in the future to be able to do more. Moving into like teaching high school has definitely helped with that too, because I'm getting to kind of hone back in on those skills and graphite draw with them, or I jump on the wheel. We have Throwing Thursday, and I jump on the potter's wheel with them and throw with them, and just some skills I haven't used for a long time. So it's really fun getting back into it.
You know, I'm trying to remember, from when I was in school 100 years ago or wherever it was, and we would work with clay. I remember you had to do something like where you kind of like wedged the clay.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
tell us about that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah. A lot of times, especially if you're repurposing or using clay more than one time, it does need to be wedged. It can have air pockets within the clay, so if you don't wedge out those air bubbles or pockets, when it's fired, it actually can explode because that heat gets into those pockets and, makes an explosion, which the kids find very fascinating.
I bet they do, but you're not going to get a good rate for that, right?
No, that's not going to work. We discourage that in art. So.
No explosions.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Also, do you either of you find sometimes that, you know, looking online can give you some good tips on what to do as far as trying to hone your craft, so to speak?
Yeah, so I'll take this one. So I think definitely if you didn't have anything in mind or you didn't have anything planned, I think definitely just like looking on the internet and just kind of just, I think, just like scroll through and just like find whatever you say, that's the photo I want, that's what I'm going to do, and then just make it happen. I feel like that's a big thing.
All right. Excellent. Listen, I want to thank all of you for coming. Got to ask Lily one time. Like I say, it always fascinates me, and it's so neat when I see people your age that love the Beatles. How'd you get into that? Was it your parents, grandparents? Did you find them on your own?
I kind of just found them on my own. I'm a fan of Billie Eilish as well, and she really enjoys the Beatles, so I kind of just branched off of her and found my own love for the Beatles.
That's pretty neat. How
she actually used that image in one of her, I think it was her exam project this year. Yeah.
Do you have any favorite songs or albums by the Beatles? Or?
I really enjoyed Hey Jude and Michelle. I don't really have any albums that are my favorite.
Right. Michelle's a wonderful song. And if ever you get to see Paul live, I will tell you that when he does Hey Jude and everybody sings along, that's a pretty awesome experience there. So pretty cool. Listen, I want to thank all of you for coming. It's certainly great to have you. And, you know, we'll and you know what? Maybe you can do some stuff that's school themed, right? You can, you know, paint or draw some cardinals or something,
there
right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
Thank you. You're clear.
All right. It's back to school at New Bremen. Kevin Sandler, your host. I want to thank 17 West, along with The Goods, Lachlan Theater, and the New Bremen Bicycle Museum, along with Elmwood Assisted Living and Nitro Roofing. So we are going to talk about something that you heard Mr. Oberman talk about on Monday, and that's the Cardinal Apprenticeship Program that's been really, really popular around here. So we'll kind of go in line. We have four seniors that we're going to meet, and let's meet our first person, if we will. We're going to bring that mic over your way so we can hear you good and share with us your name and your involvement in the program.
Hello, my name is Aiden Eastham. I am a senior here at New Bremen. I work at Plant 4 for Crown, and it's more of a manufacturing / mechanical engineering co-op role.
Excellent. I was going to say a lot of people might not know exactly what they do at Plant Number 4, so if you can share with us what made you decide to go there and what have you been learning by being there?
Was my main factor in deciding for the Cardinal Apprenticeship Program was I know engineering is an extremely competitive field. It requires a lot of previous experience to get co-ops, get jobs after you graduate, even with a degree. It's a very important aspect of the job. So that was definitely a big deciding factor. And just me knowing that Crown is a good company, and I know a lot of people that work there, so.
Yep, I was going to say I do as well, and some of them have been there for decades.
Yeah,
they've made quite a career out of it, and I suppose in a sense by being a part of this program, it's an extension of school, right?
For sure.
I mean, it's going to go right on the resume, you know, to begin with. So, have you found that it's like you hoped it would be? Is it any different, you know, to actually go there and see what they do?
No, I'd say I had good expectations, and every day I go there, it's enjoyable. I enjoy going to work every day, so I'd say that's a good important factor, enjoying going to work every day. And yeah, I've learned a lot of hands-on experience, stuff I didn't think I was going to learn until my second or third year in college. So,
For those who aren't familiar with the apprenticeship program, can you talk about the hours for this? Obviously, you do go to school for part of the day, and let's hear about that.
At school, I take a lot of advanced mathematics and physics classes, so I take AP Calculus. So with the CAP program, you take your first – we have 8 periods here at New Bremen, so you take your first 4 periods, be the first half of the day, and then you go work the second half of the day. Depending on your employer, your hours are different. For Crown, I believe it's 2 hours what most of us work, just because that's what they allow and what our supervisors are comfortable with.
Do you find also that people that are there, they're glad to have you there, they want to teach you, they see the potential?
Yeah, definitely. I've actually had the opportunity to have 2 supervisors in my time there. One was a senior manufacturing engineer. He has decades of experience, and he's very adamant on teaching me a lot of things that people, I guess, kind of lacked to teach him when he was my age. So I definitely appreciate that a lot.
Yep, that's for sure. So when you graduate next month, it's hard to believe, right? What's your immediate plans after that? I mean, you're going to work more this summer, go to college in the fall?
Yeah, my plan in the fall is to go to the Ohio State University for mechanical engineering. So, yeah, I mean, that's my main plan. I don't plan to continue working at Crown just because I travel a lot to see a lot of family, but definitely in the fall I'll be looking for co-ops and related jobs.
Excellent. Well, good luck. I'm sure you'll do great. Let's meet our next person, if you will. Give her a chance to get situated. And, you know, can you share with us, first of all, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Allie Bornhorst. I work at Plant 10 at Crown, which is more focused on electrical engineering with a little bit of mechanical engineering as well.
Excellent. Now we know what they do at Plant 10, right? For those who didn't know, what kind of put you in that direction?
It had just really interested me because I was interested in engineering in general as like a future career, but I wasn't sure which kind specifically. So this opened me up to different things I hadn't thought about before.
All right. What are some kind of things you've learned already?
It's been a lot of hands-on stuff, which has been great. I've learned how to wire a lot of electrical panels and everything that goes into that. That's probably the biggest thing. Stuff I couldn't even figure out, like when I started, I can do in like 10 minutes now. It's really great.
That is great. Probably some things that they try to teach in class, but sometimes you just got to be hands-on.
Absolutely.
For you, your future plans, what's next for you after graduation?
In the fall, I plan to attend Miami University and major in chemical engineering.
All right. And now, obviously, that'll be your major. If you thought about, like, what you might want to do for a career, like, if we caught up with you in, say, 10 years, what would you like to be doing at that point?
I'm not really sure yet. There's a lot of things to do with chemical engineering. I think the big thing I'm interested in right now is paper engineering.
Paper engineering. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Basically, what it is, it's like they make different kinds of paper for, like, different consistencies, like a paper towel versus a paper plate or paper cups. They all require different consistencies to be effective. So it would be similar to that, I think.
That's actually pretty cool, I think. What got you interested in that?
I just did some research on my own to find different kinds of engineering, and that one seemed pretty cool. Yeah. I enjoyed my high school chemistry classes.
Yes. Sounds like you kind of went down the rabbit hole, so to speak, right?
Essentially.
Nothing wrong with that. That's pretty neat. All right. Thank you. Let's meet our next person. Share with us your name and where you are part of the apprenticeship program.
Yeah, I'm Caleb Keller. I'm in Plant 3, which is the drive units for the forklifts or lift trucks. I'm up in the office, though. I'm not on the floor. I'm a planner there, deal with production and inventory. So,
all right. Can you talk about exactly the planning and the things that work? Like what keeps you busy for those hours that you're there?
Yeah. For a couple hours, there's multiple different forklifts, as you know. So there's many drive units that we have. And in order to keep them planned, you have to create more orders. You keep them together. So if there's RRs, which is a type of forklift, and then FC, RC, SC, that's the ones that I deal with. And then there's plenty more, but obviously I'm not there for very long. So there's a Crown 360, which is a website or their technology that they use, and got to match up the left and rights because each forklift drive unit, as you say, has a left and a right. To match those up, write their dates out, bring them down to the plant floor, and yeah.
Yeah, that's, people might wonder how they build those forklifts and the technology involved, and obviously you got to get it right. This is something that people will rely on to be safe, right, when they use it.
Right.
So, and what are your plans after graduation?
Yeah, I'm going to the Lake Campus, Wright State. Plan to major in general business. Not quite sure what I want to do. Maybe get into sales a little bit. But, yeah, this program, this spot at Crown showed me that, there's many opportunities out there. And
Crown, there sure is.
Yeah.
There is. Thank you so much. Let's meet the gentleman over here in the corner. If you would share with us your name and what you do as part of the apprenticeship program.
All right. My name is Parker Ashman. I am a sales and support apprentice at Crown Plant 2. So there at Crown Plant 2, we handle the sales and support. So sales for InfoLink, which is kind of like Crown 360. It's a different system for the forklifts. It goes on the forklifts. It's mainly a safety type of thing. And we also have people that do say somebody needs help, they'll call and they'll get support for the InfoLink systems or anything like that.
Yeah. I knew it would be only a matter of time before we had smart forklifts, right?
So part of my job too is doing a little bit of research. So I've actually looked into forklifts that are autonomous. Like they'll move on their own, they'll take stuff off, move it over here, put it down, or they'll do the vice versa where they take something that's off the trailer, pick it up, move it to the trailer, put it in the trailer. All through AI and stuff like that.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If they can figure out those Roombas, they can do forklifts.
It's pretty crazy, though.
So that is pretty crazy. Yeah. Think about it. For you, your own career and what would you where are you going to go to school and what are your plans after graduation?
Yeah. So my plans after graduation, I plan on first over the summer I'll still be at Crown, so I'll be in the Plant 4. It's a distribution center. Mm-hmm. So plan on getting a little bit more experience. That I'll have office experience and I'll have plant experience too, like on the floor and stuff like that. So that'll be good. Then in the fall, I plan on going to college at the Lake Campus as well. So I'll be going there for business as well. Also, just getting more, I guess, learning more of the terminology and stuff like that, everything that's involved with business. So it'll be good there.
That's good. Yeah, I think you're all getting good foundational skills because it's interesting. Asked Allie about, like, what do you want to do in 10 years? And, you know, you don't always know because there are probably jobs in 10 years that don't presently exist anyways right. now, yeah. right? We hear about that where people will change careers because something new comes along and they realize, I should have done this. And it's not too late, right?
I'm going to have to get more involved in, like, AI and stuff like that, starting to learn that. And, like, you might be able to beat that before it goes really high and all those jobs come out. Might not be a bad idea there.
That's true. For you as high school student today, how have you found that AI works in your life, you know, on a daily basis? I know you can't have it do everything for you, but I'm sure it's a big help.
Right. Yeah. So like you said, you're not allowed to have it do everything for you. You can't have it write a whole essay or do all this and that. But I mean, you can use it for like formatting and stuff like that. Say you need ideas. You can use ideas. You can reword them, use them in a different way. You just can't fully take what it's giving you and use it. But it definitely helps with that. I mean, I've seen people, even at Crown, they'll use it for, like, just if they need help anything, if they have, like, any general questions or how do I do this and stuff like that. So people use it in a bunch of different ways.
I find that it's kind of like having an assistant that's there to help you. It's your personal assistant, either for school. And then other times, I'm sure even you can ask it general things at home. Why doesn't this work? Let's troubleshoot. And it can do that. It should not be your doctor, but you can certainly ask it about some symptoms and things like that. I mean, it's just, every day, I think I have another use for it, really. Mm-hmm. Fun. Listen, I want to thank all of you and for coming in here to tell us about the Cardinal Apprenticeship Program. Sounds like you're all taking maximum advantage of it, and you got good plans for the future as well. Thank you so much. Let's take a moment here. We're back to school at New Bremen, and everybody's in a great mood because not only do they get to be on the radio, but it's Friday. So you have to be in a good mood for that. I want to thank Cal Pharmacy, Speedway Lanes, and Minster Bank, Nitro Roofing, and Elmwood. We have Coach Diana Kramer here with Julia, Carly, and Annie as players for the team. And so first of all, I want to say, Coach, nice to see you again. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
And, what's neat is you wear a lot of hats here. And, some know you as teacher, principal going to be soon, right? And,
absolutely.
And coach. And so share with us a bit about, your background with us. What got you into volleyball and why you like coaching so much?
Yeah. So I graduated from St. Henry. I played there. Also played basketball and ran track. Was also in the band. And then I decided to play volleyball in college at Duquesne University, went there for 4 years, graduated and got my first teaching job at St. Henry, coached basketball and volleyball there, became the head coach at St. Henry. And then for the last 10 years, I've been the head coach at New Bremen. So volleyball is a fun sport. It's rapidly growing. It's the fastest growing sport in the United States right now. And it's just so fast paced. It's fun to watch. It's fun to cheer your team on, and you're always on the edge of your seat because unlike any other sport, volleyball is the only sport where you're scoring a point every single time that the ball is in play. Every mistake is a point. Every good thing is a point. So it's a lot of scoring.
All right. So you have brought some of your players with you now. All seniors, right?
Yeah.
All seniors.
So how long have you been playing, and what got you into volleyball?
I have been playing volleyball since I was in fourth grade, and then we also kind of did like the little camps when we were younger. And I think what kind of got me into volleyball is like I was obviously in Mrs. Kramer's second grade class, and then we just kind of everybody talks about it, and then you're like, I might just try it, and then I kind of fell in love.
Excellent. So if you can talk to us too about I know you kind of rotate throughout a game, but what do you think are some of your strong parts of your game and some of the things that you still work on to this day?
Yeah, I would say definitely my strongest part is definitely like my communication, just being overall like loud kind of team player. I think on the court I really try and help bond our team together. Yeah.
And when you look back on the years that you played, share with us some of the highlights. I know there are plenty, right?
Yeah, I would say definitely my sophomore year, our JV team was like so much fun to play on. And then this past year, going to the state semifinals, like that team as a whole was something I will never, ever forget. Like that was just such a fun team to be a part of.
Excellent. Good for you. What are your plans after high school?
After high school, I plan to attend Ohio State University, to major in ag business.
Excellent. And share with us your name and your experiences with volleyball.
Yeah, my name's Annie, and I've been playing volleyball since about fourth grade. I've been doing all the little camps that we've had when we were younger. And what really got me into volleyball was I was in Coach Kramer's second grade math class, and I heard about it. And then when I started playing, the competitive spirit that, like, you, as Coach said, you get a point every single time, mistake or not, it really just brings the energy.
Excellent. And for you, what are your own memories, too, from all those years?
Yeah, something off the court. We went to Cedar Point this past summer, and we stayed up really late because the park closes at like 11, but we got in line for a ride at 11, and they let you go through. I don't think we got home until like 3 o'clock, but the memories that we made was like...
priceless.
Yes.
And you might as well do that while you're young. You get a little bit older, staying up becomes 10 o'clock, I think, is how that works. So good for you. What are your plans after high school?
Yeah, I plan to go to the Ohio State University and major in biomedical engineering.
What made you pick that?
I always have loved engineering, and I love the medical side of stuff. And it was like, well, I don't really want to be a doctor, but I want to work in engineering. So combining those two really works well.
Yep, I think doctors are important. I think it's a great job to have, but you have to really want to go to school.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's not the end of it either, right? Then you get your residency. So I can understand where you would say, no, I don't want to start my job when I'm 30, right? So good for you. Good luck, I'm sure of that. And share with us, you know, your name and your experiences.
I'm Carly Bushman, and I would say that I got started like fourth or fifth grade, and I got into that because my older sister played. So I loved watching her grow up and see her do that, and I wanted to take after her. So I kind of started doing it, and then all three of us were also managers in sixth grade, so that made me want to keep playing.
True. Did you have Coach Kramer for second grade?
I don't think I took her class, but I know I definitely saw her a lot.
Yeah. She tells us she recruits here every day in the hallway, right? She's looking for those for those good players, right? Could you talk to us certainly about your own memories of playing, what you like the most, and what are your future plans?
As hard as the summer can be, I really like the summer because it just prepares you for season and getting to play with a whole bunch of new people, the incoming freshmen and just all like the younger people. As you get older, it's very exciting to see what your season is going to bring. And then after high school, I plan on getting my cosmetology license, hopefully somewhere down in Columbus.
Excellent. You know, that talk about a great field that seems to be growing, right? People are really, you know, using that. And cosmetology, people might think, oh, okay, hair and makeup, that's part of it, but that's not all, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always liked doing hair and nails and stuff, and I started, like, doing all of that when I was super young, so...
All right.
I just think it's interesting.
It definitely. So, Coach, I wanted to give you a chance to elaborate. First of all, as a second grade teacher for all those years, you probably had a lot of great future superstars in your class, right? You were kind of talking to them about it then, right?
I mean, that leads to one of the things that's the hardest thing about coaching is most of the girls in second grade sign up for volleyball camp, and unfortunately, as you can see, only three will be incoming seniors next year. And it's hard whenever you start out with 20 or 25 per grade, and it dwindles down to usually between 2 and 5, I would say, is probably pretty normal. So that's hard. But the good thing is that I still have great relationships with all those people. I actually write a lot of recommendations for girls that actually have walked away from volleyball because we still have that relationship. And I think that that's the key to everything that we do is building relationships. And these girls know that I love them. They know that I have high expectations for them. This summer I have 3 weddings that I'm going to, a former player. So building those relationships is 100% key, and it creates success on the court.
You know, think about that when you get married, do you always think of your former teachers or coaches? Maybe not, but for you to be invited to 3 of them says a lot, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And sometimes my family even gets involved because my kids have been in the gym with me the entire time. I know when I took the job in 2017, one of the stipulations I had with Mr. Jones was, I'm probably going to have a kid on my hip at all times, and if you can trust that I'm going to do my job, I guess I'll take a chance on it. So,
yeah. Well, and hey, that kid's going to become a future assistant or helper at some
point. Kid's now a third grader, so it's crazy how fast time goes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You mentioned some of them had talked about how they were on, in the sixth grade, that they were kind of part of, like, the team and helping out. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about that? How they
being a manager is really a fun thing for the younger girls because they look up to these girls. While a lot of times people look up to maybe Joe Burrow as their hero, a lot of the girls in this school look to the volleyball team or the basketball team or the people in the band. They want to grow up and be like people that they see every single day. So having these girls as managers, and I can guarantee they remember being a manager and what team they managed for and who the seniors were, and they wanted to be like them. And it also is, it's great for the team to embrace the younger girls and, you know, lead the path, create the path for them, and let them know what it means to be a Cardinal, whether it's on the volleyball team or the basketball team or the track team or the bowling team or in FFA. Being a Cardinal means something, and starting them young and letting them know that, you know, all Cardinals, small and young and old and big, they're all the same, and we all have one goal in mind.
Drew, if people have ever been to this school, they'll see on the walls, like, the Cardinal way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, and that's really neat. Do you sometimes also see kind of the wide eyes in some of your players when you get to the Nutter Center? That's a big place.
It is a really big place, and it's really neat. Back in 2015 when I was at St. Henry, we lost in the state finals my last year there, and I thought that might be the last time that I ever get a coach there, maybe the last time I ever coach. And then I've started coaching at New Bremen, and every year it's a new team. It's neat for them to get to experience it. It's something they'll never forget, and it only happens with hard work, and they work hard, really, 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 really hard. They can handle my honesty. They would do anything for anybody on any given day, and that's what makes these three and their whole team so special. But these three specifically sitting here in front of me are three of the best leaders that I've ever coached. They're unselfish. They're here for the team. We talk about all the time how we play for the name on the front of our shirt, not the name on the back of our shirt. And these three girls sitting here are what that actually means. They're all in for the team, whether they're getting set or they're not getting set, whether they're on the court, they're not on the court. They're the leaders on the court and off the court. And I think that what happens off the court is way more important than what happens on the court.
When you have a practice, do you when you work with your players, I'm sure there are some things you do that are standard at any practice, but are there also times where you'll work with individual players and say, okay, this is what we're going to improve on?
Right. I have a great coaching staff with some of my really good friends, some of my former teammates, some of my former players, and I think that speaks volumes to the program that we have going, that people want to come back. So if you walk into our gym on any given day, there's three courts set up. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing. Every coach knows what's going on. It's very much so like a well-oiled machine. Kids are holding each other accountable. And I think one of the signs of a good leader is that you create more leaders. And I feel like that is something that has happened not only this year, but in years past. And right here sitting in front of you are the three leaders for next year. And with that being said, I think their expectations are even higher next year. So,
yeah,
we're dreaming big.
And you got to visualize it. You got to believe it, that it can happen, right? You can't just hope for it, right?
If you believe that something could happen, it's definitely a possibility. A lot of people walk into the gym before they play us or before they play any game, and they think that they're going to win or they think that they're going to lose. And if you think you're going to lose, you're probably going to lose.
Yes.
For sure. And if you think that you can win, there's always a chance. It's high school sports. It actually can happen at any level on any given day. So this team believes, and they bought into that. And if I tell them the grass is purple, they might believe that because they don't. That's just what they do.
How about timeouts? When you have a – because it happens, right? I mean, no matter how great you are, you might have a rough game, you know, as part of a match, and things are not going your way. Coach calls timeout. You have a timeout, you come out, and you play better. What gets said in that timeout, right?
Yeah, normally she reassures us, like, we've put so much work in. She tells us, like, you've put in so much work over the summer and during the season. Like, trust in all the work that you've done. You guys really have the skills to do anything that you put your minds to. So if you just trust in all of your training, you can do it.
Excellent. I think going off of that, I know there's one moment in St. Henry. We started, obviously, in the first set. We're down, like, 10-0. And she's like, all right, guys, this is really bad. It seems really bad right now, but you need to think about it in the long run that it's not that bad. And I know that it was that game where we actually sat down on the bench for the first time. And I mean, Coach Kramer never calls timeouts. So then whenever she called a timeout and we sat down, we're like, okay, this is getting serious. And she really does want to coach us hard there. So that was just like,
yeah. And sometimes since you can't win every match, right, Coach? Sometimes do you just kind of reassure your team that, hey, we're going to practice, we're going to get better, and give the other team some credit? You know, maybe they just really came to play that day.
Right. Failure is not the opposite of success. Failure is part of success. So, you know, there's always going to be setbacks. Obviously, I'm one of the most competitive people am the most competitive person in this room, maybe this school, maybe this town, maybe the state, maybe the United States. With that being said, you can't always win, and I understand that, but you can try to win, and you can prepare to win, and you can prepare to be successful, and you can learn from all of those opportunities that were presented before you. And I think that that's why these girls play sports. That's why people are involved in activities, because you grow as a person, you grow as a leader, you grow as, you know, these girls are going to be in the workforce someday. They're going to be mothers someday. They're going to be making a difference. And I think that if you can learn all those skills, you're going to be even more successful. You know, trying to teach these girls that there's a big picture out there, to be visionary. And we want to get to the end of season, and we want to try to win that last game. But on game number three, we're going to have highs, we're going to have lows. Just like in your life, you're going to have highs and lows. But keep looking big picture while you also live in the moment.
Excellent. And I wanted to ask, as part of back to school, sometimes I ask easy questions and questions I know the answer to, and I'm going to do it anyways. Isn't she a great coach, great person?
Yes.
You know, you enjoy having her in your life and the mentorship and what you've learned, right?
Yeah, I think every day you walk in the gym and you're like, coach is going to hold you accountable, so I need to hold myself accountable more. And I feel like even that's just one aspect. Like, if you do that and, like, if you have a leader like Coach Kramer, everybody in the school is better. Everybody on the team is better. It's just an overall better experience.
And just having, like, a coach that is confident in your team makes you more confident and everybody more confident.
Yeah, she always reassures us that she loves us, like, no matter, like, what level you are. If you're, like, a freshman who doesn't even play on, like, JVB, or if you're the starting varsity player that plays all the way around, we all know that she loves us, and, like, that's just feels so much better to know.
That's fantastic. Coach, it was great to see you again. And, for back to school, we're out of days today, so we're not going to get to talk to you again. But that just means that we're going to have to put you on Spectrum sometime, have you come visit us. We've got the sports surge that we did that you did not that long ago. And you're always fun to talk to.
WCSM listeners might be tired of hearing my voice.
Well, I'm not. So there you go. We'll keep putting you on. So listen, thank you again, all of you, and best of luck. It's back to school at New Bremen, courtesy of Lock One Theater, The Goods. Thank you to 17 West, along with Kelp Pharmacy and Speedway Lanes. So we'll stick with sports, talking football. Coach Chris Schmidt is here with a couple of his players. Coach, nice to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How many years now coaching football at New Bremen?
I figured you'd ask me that. I was thinking about that earlier. I think this was year 11 this past year, believe it or not. So, yeah, 2015 is when I was hired, I guess, and started. So, yeah, 11 football seasons.
And can you talk to us also about your own background, where you grew up, what got you into education and coaching football specifically?
I grew up at Bell Fountain and graduated from Bell Fountain, so not too far away. Like these two gentlemen sitting next to me, I'm sure growing up playing sports and just kind of year round is something I did. And growing up with brothers as well, we were always, you know, active. And so once we got into, organized sports, especially in school sports, played year round in baseball, basketball, and football, and just always enjoyed that. And after I graduated from high school, I had the opportunity to go to Wittenberg University in Springfield and continue playing some football there, and really enjoyed that. And I think when I was there, I kind of realized that I thought about going into business, and then I kind of was like, well, do I really like math that much? I don't know that I do. And I just, I love being around sports, and I just kind of had the realization that I wanted to coach and teach and be able to work with, people and student athletes. And from there, that's just kind of, where that all grew from.
True. Growing up in Bell Fountain was kind of an advantage to you. I mean, being a chieftain, I think, is what they're called.
Yeah.
And they play good football and sports in that town, don't they?
Yeah, it's a lot of pride there. I couldn't have asked for a better upbringing in terms of the community and, friends that I had and teachers and coaches. Just really felt blessed. And obviously they had a huge impact on me as well, I think, and ultimately heading into education and sports.
Let's also talk about success, from when you first took over the program to it's two state titles, right? First of all, 2020 and then 22. Pretty big deal everywhere, certainly, but certainly also around here. People were really excited. How were you able to get the program to be so competitive and so successful?
Well, I'd love to sit here and tell you that, you know, I visualized it or I just knew it was going to happen. But, you know, I wouldn't be honest with you. It was one of those where, you know, coming to New Bremen was an opportunity. I had been a head coach at Bell Fountain. It didn't work out the way I would have liked and had an opportunity to come this way. My dad had been a longtime assistant, you know, since retired, but had been with John Rogers coaching volleyball at Fort Loramie. And he just spoke so highly of the area. And I can even remember when I was at Bell Fountain, we came over and scrimmaged Fort Loramie in football. We drove through New Bremen and Minster, and you just were like, wow, you're just really impressed by the towns. And you just kind of got the sense that, you know, good people over here, they cared about the right things. And there was an opportunity for me to come over and coach. And I guess at the very least, I thought, well, even if we don't have success, I'll at least, you know, be a better coach just by going against all the great coaches and programs over this way. And I was hoping that we would have success. I knew there was a great support in terms of the community and investment in education and athletics here. So I was hoping for that and worked really hard for that. And we just talked to our kids about, you know, taking steps in the right direction and doing things the right way and ultimately success will hopefully come. And we had some good classes and groups that really started to help us turn the direction around and, you know, some talented groups that came in and benefited from that. And very fortunate enough to, you know, have a couple great runs there.
Yep, and we'd like to add, hey, we'll brag about the conference for a moment. If you have success in the MAC, you're doing something right. That's a tough conference.
Absolutely, and that's and one of the neat things about it too. It's fierce in this competition, but as an outsider, you see that, and then to be a part of it, it's really neat because I've always admired too that as much as we compete against each other, we're also very supportive of each other. And that's something I think that's really unique and neat as well.
I don't mind saying when you made those state title runs, you picked up fans. You know, adjacent towns suddenly they became Cardinals fans. They wanted you to win because you're part of the conference.
Yeah, it was really neat. I can remember, you know, Coldwater and Marion, you know, putting banners up and sending us things. You know, good luck and it was really neat and I think that's where. I know for outsiders, sometimes it may come off wrong in terms of the pride of the MAC and the conference, but I think that's why there's a lot of that, just because of how much we do respect each other and support each other.
That's right. And of course, the next time you play on the football field, that ends. We're back to the partisanship and rooting for your school, right?
Correct.
Excellent. So you got two gentlemen here with you. Share with us, we'll start in the corner there, your name, and talk to us about your own football career.
I'm Gavin Quowers. I was a senior this last year. I quit my sophomore and junior year, but my freshman year was a state championship year, and then I just joined back for my senior year.
All right. You know what? Tell us the positions you play and, you know, what you enjoy so much about the game.
Wide receiver and D-back. And what I think I enjoyed so much was not so much the games or practices, but just being with the team outside of it.
What's some of the work, you know, into both of those positions, especially a wide receiver? For those who hadn't played the game, they might think, well, you just run around and wave your hand, see if the quarterback can find me, and you can probably talk about design plays and routes and things like that.
Yeah, you would think it's just working on the hands, but it's like footwork and the tiny details that go into it's really what plays a big role in getting open.
Excellent. What are also kind of your future plans after you graduate?
I'm headed to the University of Miami and majoring in finance.
I don't mind saying he actually answered that a few days ago. We wanted to see if he still wanted to do that,
yeah,
right?
Change his mind or not.
Yeah, then, you know, you talk about your freshman year, you know, being a state title year. What are your memories of that? That would have been the year you guys played, I think, Warren JFK, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I remember that. So what are your memories of getting to play in such a big stadium and all that stuff?
Well, I remember the bus ride there. It's probably the longest bus ride I've ever been on. Dreadful.
But yes.
Walking out of the locker room and down the tunnel into just that big stadium is something I'll never forget. It's one of my favorite memories.
Now, were you guys playing in Maslin at that time or Canton?
We were in Canton the second time. We had gone to Maslin the first time. It was really you know, to be able to play at both places is
yeah, awesome. That's quite an accomplishment because you can't do that now that they moved it. So I bet the bus ride home is a lot different though, right?
Very loud on the bus ride home.
And when you're in the moment, I know sometimes it's hard to realize this, but I mean, y'all literally wrote your names in history. I mean, here at New Brim, they'll talk about that team and the 2020. They'll talk about that forever. Your name is on that. So.
Yeah, that's real neat.
Isn't that cool? And share with us your name and your football, stories.
Yep, I'm Jalen Powell, senior. Played all 4 years, middle linebacker.
All right. What kind of got you into football? What you love about the game so much?
I've played tackle football since I was in second grade over in St. Mary's with my midget league, of course. But I don't know. Just ever since I was a young kid, it's always been something I've been attracted to.
All right. And can you share with us, your memories of some, amazing games and things like that?
Probably the state championship, of course. Beating Coldwater this year, that was awesome. Never going to forget that. And a weird one, sophomore year, beating Delphus at home. It was kind of that was a real rewarding one.
That was. Well, and perhaps Coach remembers, because we might sort of be the same, age group. We remember when Delphus, St. John's, I think they went like however many years where they didn't lose a football game. I mean, that would they were the terrors for so many years.
Yeah, it was before I obviously got in the conference, but, one of those years I remember flipping on the state title game and I think they beat Shadyside like 77-7. And that was like before the running clocks. And it was you're thinking about going into the MAC. You're like, this is going to be either really awesome or this is going to be very, very challenging. And it's actually a little bit of both, but it's certainly rewarding too. But
A competitor though. I mean, wouldn't be afraid, right, to go into a conference. Part of you is like, this is a great challenge. You embrace it, right?
Yeah, you really do. I think that's the ultimately what won out is you want to find out what you're made of. And I think that's where our schools, our teams and all our sports fare so well in the state tournaments is because the competition level is so high within our conference. You know, when we get into the football playoffs, we feel like we've seen everything in terms of what – because if you're not sharp in certain areas, other teams in your league and our conference are going to expose it. And so it's very rarely that there's another team outside that will show you something that you haven't already seen a team try to test you in our conference.
Excellent. Now, when you're not, coaching, high school football at New Bremen, how about football for you? Do you have college pro teams that you root for?
Oh, wow. This is a sore subject because these guys know I'm a big Cleveland Browns fan. Thankfully, that's offset by being Ohio State Buckeyes fan. I think that's where there's a lot of Browns Buckeyes fans because it'd be very depressing just to be a Browns fan. You need something to
balance it. Yes.
Balance it out. So,
believe me, growing up in Michigan, being a Lions fan for all those years, I was very grateful to have the Wolverines on Saturday because they were the only good team to root for. And I like to ask this of coaches sometimes: do you tend to watch football a little differently than most fans do? And does that drive your family up the wall to have to watch a game with you and you analyze it?
For the most part, I mean, I watch it a little bit, but for the most part, I try to turn off my coaching brain and just kind of, watch it and enjoy it. So not too much. I mean, obviously, I'll watch for little details, but.
All right. Yeah, and that's, again, it's fun. Football just kind of gets into your head and your heart. There's a lot of life lessons, too, in football, right? I mean, things you're going to go through that you're going to take with you in life.
Yeah, and I think that's, ultimately that you hope what, these young men and all the kids that play kind of take away with them. And, Gavin said it, well, too, is that you end up realizing that while you miss, the games and being out there and competing, you really miss kind of the elements of, togetherness and the brotherhood and
that's right.
That sense where, feels like football is a little bit more unique because of the physical and mental demands that it takes that you kind of bond with your teammates. And so, a lot of life lessons. It's been a tremendous sport for me as a player, now as a coach, just to kind of to learn from.
Excellent. I want to thank all of you for coming on and sharing your experiences and your wisdom with us. So thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you.
And again, it's back to school, and we are at New Bremen. And I want to say thank you to Elmwood, Nitro Roofing, Minster Bank, and The Goods. We're going to talk STEM, robotics, and computer science. And so we'll begin to talk with our teacher first, and Mr. Hartman, right?
Good to see you. Yep, hi.
If you would share with us, please, you know, your own background, where you grew up, and what got you into teaching, especially on this subject.
Sure, yeah. I'm from the little town of Archbold, Ohio. So another kind of rural community. I got into teaching. I went straight into engineering education for my undergraduate. And then I taught math at Lima Senior, moved to St. Mary's, picked up some engineering, and then went full on with it here with computer science and robotics.
All right. You could have done radio. I just want to point that out there. Great. What is it about this subject, though, that you love so much?
I think the opportunity to apply the things that the students are learning is the big thing for me. They get to actually, you know, it's one thing to do it on paper, and it's another to actually go out and build it. And when the kids get to do both together, I think that's where the magic is.
All right. And speaking of magic, I know you got magical students here, right?
Absolutely.
So let's begin. We'll kind of go in line here. Talk to us about, you know, your name and the grade that you're in and what, you know, just kind of what you take from these programs.
Okay, I'm Leif Dietrich. I'm a freshman, and I am on the robotics gold team, and I'm also in CS1 with Mr. Hartman.
Robotics, it's an exciting one, seems to be growing. What are some of the memorable robotics-type projects, even competition, that you've had in your time?
So this is my first year, so I've only been to two competitions, but I would say the most memorable would have been the Newark one. It was my first one, so...
What was your machine, robot, et cetera, you know, programmed to do? Like, what was that kind of all about?
So the game this year is basically you need to pick up these wiffle balls and then launch them into these baskets. So our robot was programmed to just do that, as well as the other mini things that the game had with it.
Now, when you programmed and, you know, built, right, and programmed the robot, what was that experience like? I can see where there would be some back to the drawing board moments.
You're really right about that. It's really back to the drawing board every time. You try something, you think it's going to work, and then you turn out it doesn't, so then you have to modify it. And even with the postseason robot that we made right now, like, it's been a lot of that. Like, oh, this should work, but then it's like, oh, we don't have the space, or, oh, we need to modify it to where it actually works.
One of those things, perhaps, where you have to have patience, right, and realize that if it's not doing something, you got to kind of work your way back through the chain, so to speak, right? Like, okay, what did we not do, right,
yes.
that's lacking right now? Like, why it's just staring at us and not doing what we wanted to do.
Yes, exactly.
That's
why is my motor not moving?
Yeah, like, what's going on here? And you can't ask it, so. Yeah. But on the other hand, I think about that experience for you when you get into the workforce and you get into projects, this will be good for you'll kind of know how that process works.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What are your future plans after
school? My future plans after school, I'm going to go into engineering. I'm not really sure which one yet, but I'm looking to, like, mechanical, electrical, or even, like, mechatronics engineering.
All right. And we'll talk to our next gentleman here wearing that wonderful Michigan shirt. I just want to put that out there. Share with us your name and your own thoughts, on these programs.
I'm August Garman. I really like these programs. I like robots and the robotics class I'm in. I also take computer science with Mr. Hartman.
Can you talk to us about some of the subject matter of computer science? People probably hear about a computer class.
Yeah.
So what's the science aspect?
So what we've been going over is Python and coding on our computer. There's, like, lots of different things you can do with it. And there's, like, multiple units that we've been learning all throughout the year.
All right. And what would you like to do as a career, and has the computer science kind of helped you with that?
I would like to go into the engineering field of some sort. I'm not too sure which part. And there's, like, a bunch of robots that need coded, and, like, that's where robotics also helps. And I think both classes are very important and cool.
Had you had much experience with robotics before you took the class, got into it?
Not too much, but I always thought they were pretty interesting and would like to take a class.
And what are some of the highlights of the robotics part for you?
Just the trial and error and the experience, learning, and yeah.
All right. Outstanding. And share with us, please, your name and your involvement in the program.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Annie Layfield. This is my first year on the robotics team, and I primarily worked with outreach, so helping our community.
All right. So can we hear about that, the outreach, some of the things involved with that?
Yeah. So we started a podcast that highlights some of the other STEM classes that we have, like physics. And then I know that we talk about our competitions and what we do. That way the community is more involved because robotics isn't very well known. So we just wanted to make that more clear. And then we've partnered with a local program in our school to teach younger, like kindergartners, about STEM.
All right. That sounds like a lot of fun,
yeah.
Actually, right? It's like you almost get to be a teacher.
Yeah.
For you, what are your future plans one day?
Yeah, I plan to go to a four-year university and major in biomedical engineering.
I bet you'll do good. Yeah. So by process of elimination, I bet we're going to talk to Abby next, right?
Yep.
Abby Dwenger, thanks for coming on. Maybe talk to us about your experience with STEM and what you remember the most.
What I remember the most is definitely our postseason robot, because this time we actually get to have some trial and error. Before it was just like, you got to get it done. Doesn't matter if it's good, it's just got to be done. But now we're trying to getting into make it actually better and like being able to go, maybe we're going to try to do an autonomous mode or something like that.
True. I would think also that there's a huge relief once you get it on and working and doing something. You've cleared that hurdle. You can refine now,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. That does sound like, I think things like that, you got to treat them as fun. You can't let them frustrate mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
What are your future plans one day?
Well, I plan to also go into the engineering field. I'm not really sure what I want to do yet, but maybe like a mechanical engineer or a software engineer, something like that.
That's right. All the good jobs involve be good at math, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Mr. Hartman again. I wanted to talk, about when people that might be a little older don't know as much about robotics and what that's going to, do and what it already is. So if people are surprised about, robotics, maybe you can kind of talk about that, what you're teaching them and what these robots are going to do someday.
Sure, yeah. I'm looking for applications in the manufacturing fields is kind of my mojo. So I like to take the kids out a lot and see how things go on the factory floor and just how robots are handling a lot of the parts that are going into things that are being made and how can I prepare students for the jobs making those robot cells, programming those robots, and just getting into the weeds of that, ill-defined problems. How do we figure out what needs done? How do we get it done? How can we find a creative solution for that?
So. Yeah, robotics that are on the floor, so to speak. Maybe years ago, we would have had to figure out why the line, stopped. Now you might have to figure out what made the robot stop, right?
Yes, absolutely. You're looking into sensor data. You're looking into what in your program's flow could have caused the robot to do that unexpected behavior. We've had our fair share of unexpected behaviors in this class, so.
Yep, and it's also part of your position that you're there to encourage them, say, hey, hang in there, I know you thought you programmed it right, and for some reason it just fell over, or it just seized, or it's not doing anything, but, it doesn't mean that your work doesn't count, right?
Something that we've really pushed for this year is embracing failure. So when things go wrong, I try to remind the kids, it's easy to hang your head and be like, oh man, the robot didn't work. No, that's the point. The point is you make a robot, you see why it doesn't work. You keep testing it, you fix what doesn't work, yeah. And then you keep going like that.
Yeah, well, and it's not failure as long as you don't quit. It didn't work this time, doesn't mean you failed. You just keep at it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think any gamer will tell you that one, right? sometimes there are times you just have to turn it off, and we'll do this again tomorrow. Like rest, get your head back in the game, so to speak.
We've definitely had days like that.
Yeah,
in this class.
Just stop. Or we're not going to make this any better. Let's not make it worse.
Right.
Let's talk about something
tomorrow.
Else.
We'll come back and it'll
yes,
be good.
That's right. Yep. And for you, I'm sure you've seen success, with the students over the years. Got to be pretty personally satisfying for you.
Absolutely, I love it. It's just amazing to see how these kids grow. A lot of them will try something that's, out of their comfort zone. A lot of these kids don't know a lot about robotics. They're not super comfortable with it. They'll branch out. They'll try and take a class with me, try to learn something about it. It'll be difficult for them at first, and it's really satisfying to see them come around to that and to get the hang of it.
Well, also, if we talk about the future for robotics, is AI starting to kind of play a part in what you guys are doing?
Yeah, AI is starting to play a part, definitely. The main way we've seen it in our competition is in vision. So we've gotten to a point where cameras no longer just say, here's a picture, but they can tell you, hey, there's an object at these coordinates relative to your position. And that makes a big difference when you're programming a robot. So like with our ball launcher game this year, there was a camera that was very popular that can look at the goal, tell you what direction you need to point, how far you need to move your motors to be pointed at the goal, and what power you need to launch that distance. So it's really starting to integrate, and it has some powerful effects.
Yeah, and it's exciting to think about how far is this going to go, right? I mean, you know, for all of you, like someday when your kids are in high school, what might these robots be doing, right?
Oh my, yeah. AI is shaping up to change a lot of things. And in the computer science aspect of it especially, we're seeing that AI can really assist in writing code, and it can really assist in editing code. You know, my code doesn't work the way I was expecting. Feed it to the AI, ask it. Yes. It's got a good answer.
I've been saying you don't want to let it do your work for you, but it's an assistant that you can have. And best of all, you don't have any of those pesky human emotions. It's just going to work to solve your problem. It's not going to judge you, you know, and right. It's just going to, it's going to make suggestions. It'll analyze for you. And so that part of it is nice, right?
It's definitely much easier to take criticism from an AI than it is to take criticism from another human.
Yes. Of course, you never know with that AI. They could program it to have an attitude. I'm sure they could.
They could.
Please don't, right?
Right,
you get enough of that in real life, right? And also, for you, when not here, I'm just curious, are you a technology guy, like privately? I mean, what are some of the things you do for fun?
Absolutely. I am a gamer. So, I love, you name it, I probably played it. Minecraft, everything by Nintendo, that kind of thing, so...
Yes, you know, and how big is gaming now? I can remember my own kids had gamers that they used to love to watch on YouTube. Some of them Twitch stream even, you know, and people get so into it that they'll actually join them right in the game. I mean, any of you ever have experience with that? Just gaming yourself, I mean.
I'm not a big gamer, but I know our school has a local esports team.
Yes.
And they've gone and competed all the way to state, and I think they're going to nationals now. And I think that sport's just grown so much. Like, I didn't even know it was, like, a thing, like, my freshman year. And now they're going all the way to nationals. So I think that just shows, like, the growth of that and how much more mainstream it's become.
That is pretty neat. Yeah, that's when you're a gamer, the thing is you can connect and play with or against people anywhere, really.
Absolutely, yeah. The ability to compete without having to schedule a bus, there's a lot of fun to that, right?
It's amazing to me also because my own kids loved Minecraft, but I think about like how far the graphics have come in the gameplay, and when Minecraft got popular, I thought, what am I missing here? This looks kind of rudimentary to me, but it caught on.
Oh,
right?
It's gotten very deep. They actually have an education edition out now with a robot built in that you can program the robot. I don't think any of these guys are in the class where I'm doing it, but... We're actually doing a unit on that right now with one of my computer science classes.
Roblox was another big one in our household.
Yes. Oh, Roblox is very popular. And it's got a lot you can do now. You can actually program your own game in Roblox, and there's just a lot you can do with it. I haven't gone too far with that personally, but I've definitely heard a lot of good stories.
Sometimes
about it.
I think also gaming gets kind of a bad name because people think, you know, you spend too much time or whatever, or they don't understand perhaps the skills that is involved. It's probably good exercise for your brain in that sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly depends on the game, right? There's games that you can play that take less or more mental energy and develop certain skills. But I show kids all the time the parallels between Minecraft and programming because there are a lot.
And you're right. There are some games that look like they're designed just to blow off some steam. Some
sure.
of them, it's like, what is the point of this game? I see a lot of fighting, but not much else.
Yeah.
So, listen, I want to thank all of you. I know you're going to do great things, and I'm... sure Mr. Hartman would agree. If you can be good in science or technology, engineering, and especially math, that's where kind of the high-paying jobs are, right? That's the
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Those are the hot buttons right now.
There you have it. So, listen, I want to thank all of you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And we are back to school at New Bremen. Kevin Sandler with you here. I want to thank Kelp Pharmacy, Speedway Lanes, Jackson Tractors, and the Minster Bank. And now I interview the best guest I have ever had on this program, my own daughter, Rhiannon, who is a senior here at New Bremen. How you doing?
Good, I'm good.
All right, you've been here since kindergarten, right? You remember your kindergarten teacher?
Yes, it was, oh gosh, I remember.
That's all right. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time, but I really liked her. I remember that. When you look back, though, on your time here at New Bremen, what are some things that really stand out? You've been in the band, you've been in choir, you've been able to go to games and state football, state competition for choir and band. I mean, share that part with us.
I've been done a lot of band and choir stuff, been in marching band, and we went to state, my freshman year for football. So performing there was really interesting because there's a bunch of cameras in your face. But I think for choir, we're going to have a performance on next Saturday to get up super early for that state. So, yeah.
And you play the flute,
yes,
right?
I do. I'm the section leader.
And did you also kind of work with the piccolo, right?
Yeah, I did do piccolo for I did piccolo last year, and there was a senior who did that before me, and then we chose not to do it this year because I was kind of off on the side. So,
and for singing, have you know, maybe your voice has changed over time. Talk about that, like how your singing has evolved and what part of the choir you're in.
I sing tenor, so you know, there's like alto or soprano, alto, tenor, bass. So, you know, usually you see, you know, girls in the alto and soprano section. But, I sing tenor. It's like the lower part, but the higher part for the men. And so I used to sing alto. Sometimes I do jump on there for parts and stuff like that. But every time I've gone to, like, all-state choir and stuff like that, I sing tenor. And for, like, any honors choir, I do.
Also, you have done some solo stuff. You did Linda Ronstadt's Long, yep. Right?
Long time, yeah.
How did you get to, I mean, I know you can sing it. You did a great job. What was that like, though, to walk out on the stage and actually sing in front of everyone? I couldn't do that.
I get really nervous. I have a little bit of the shakes, got that Elvis leg. But it's something to, you know, focus on, you know, the notes and every intentional pause and everything. And you're more in the music than you are on the stage. So when you're singing, you kind of just like forget that anybody else is there. At least that's how it is for me. And I just kind of lose myself a little bit in the music, and I don't have to, it makes me a little less nervous to focus on all the people in front of me.
I wanted to also get you to talk about your many friends, you know, that you have. You've got some friends, I know you're going to have them for life. So please give them a shout out.
Who recently graduated was Keegan Wells, and Lauren Murray the year before that with Nick. And then right now I've got, you know, Lily Longfellow in the med prep program at TriStar doing amazing things. I've got Bri Lynn, who's going to graduate next year and do psychology. Josh, he's going to be a teacher. Susanna Davis. I'm not sure what she's going into yet, but she's become a really good friend this year as well. So, yeah.
And I wanted to also add a couple things, like almost a major announcement. Not everybody that knows you knows this, but you have made a career decision.
Yes, I recently changed my career. I'm going to do nursing. Hopefully, I'm going to be an ER nurse. So.
And you're going to go to the Lake Campus for that. And I liked your reasons for it. I know you'd had some interest in forensics and crime lab stuff, but you also kind of realize sometimes you got to go where the work is.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. A lot of forensic jobs are, it's kind of difficult to get them lately, especially with like a lot of people watch TV shows and assume that's how it's going to be, which it can be, but it totally isn't. Usually it's not CSI. So a lot of those jobs have gotten taken up by that, and they like people with experience. And I don't have an issue with the blood and the gore factor, so I don't mind doing nursing and stuff like that.
No, unfortunately, I think I passed my love for all things, you know, the dark side of life on to you. You like those true crime dramas just as much as I do, right?
Yeah, that and the horror movies, yep.
Yes, that's right. That and we know the best holiday of the year is Halloween.
Yes, it's Halloween.
Halloween, the very best. I also wanted, you know, we wanted to give a chance. A lot of people that know us know as a family know that recently my dad, or Papa, as you call them, had passed away. And we remember what a big impact he had on you in school. He was the math genius, and he used to step up early on and help you and Nick with your homework. Don't think he missed too many performances that he could come see also.
Yeah, he never, I don't think they've ever really missed a choir performance, really, to be honest. So between him and Gran, I know.
We one of the things that we remember about Dad fondly was when we first got Skye, our husky. If you remember, I mean, first of all, he loved her immediately.
Yes.
And unfortunately for him, he always had a treat for her. And after a while, she would just knock him down when she would see him. And he would always go, easy, easy. And I'd say, Dad, you've already taught her, you're the treat man.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
And it never did. And he didn't mind that much either. And so we want to point that out where, you know, I think it's a hard thing to lose grandparents. And I think a lot of your peers and people listening will remember that they try to be with you every step of the way when you're going through school. Mm-hmm. So, all right, a lot of fun. And we're not done yet. I mean, you graduate next month. Like you said, you got more state coming up. And you know, I know you're going to stay with us and go to the Lake campus, which I think is wonderful. I promise we'll give you a discount on your rent.
Oh, okay.
And again, I thank you for coming. Thank you to Mr. Schrader and the Bremen School District for setting it up, because this is exactly what I was hoping for my last guest. And I don't get to say I love you to too many guests, or I probably shouldn't, but I love you. You're my best ever guest, sweetheart.
Thank you. I love you, too.
I can't thank everybody enough. Count Pharmacy, Speedway Lanes, Jackson Tractors, Minster Bank. Mr. Schrader, if you're listening, get well soon. I'm sorry you couldn't join us this week, but you sure did a wonderful job putting together all of these guests. Where we were able to give a wonderful cross-section of what New Bremen schools are all about, and what they are all about are many great things. Thank you to Lee Kieser, our wonderful producer. Thank you to everybody for helping to make this happen. We just temporarily paused the series. We'll be back at it, in September, and it'll be another year of back to school, if you will, but hard to believe. So everybody, again, take care. Thank you so much.